The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
I invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Haggai. If you always have trouble with the minor prophets, go to Matthew and make a left, about three books over. It should be a little familiar, hopefully, because a few weeks ago I had the opportunity to share from this same book one of, if not the my favorite of the minor prophets. Specifically, last time, looking at verses 10 to 19. And just to kind of give a recap, because today we're going to be looking at the last four verses of the book, Haggai chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. But before we do that, just to get a little bit of context of what we talked about last time with Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 to 19. Verses 10 to 13 say this: "On the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priest about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priest answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai continues to go on and say, it is with this people. But we talked a few weeks ago about how this principle of how it's easier to become defiled than it is to be made pure is seen from all areas of our life. It's seen from our daily experiences. One of the reasons why I would argue that we don't see people in nice white suits other than once in a lifetime when we take a cruise is because white suits, on a day like today especially, would quickly become brown. White suits do not become cleaner throughout the day. Anything we touch, anything we come into contact with seems to defile it or make it a little more dingy. Things that stay in our refrigerator may enjoy a brief time of aging and become taste better, but if the aging lasts more than a day or two, it's time to clean out the refrigerator, which our maintenance guys do on occasion over here in this refrigerator. The principle is this, is that in Scripture and in life, it's easier to become defiled than it is to become clean. And as Haggai writes in this book, more important than a suit or an appliance, Haggai was challenging people with the issues of their heart. In the midst of this reminder that it's hard to become holy is also this gracious promise of the gospel that throughout this passage, he reminds them twice that the Lord will bless them. Verse 15, "And now then, consider from this day onward," and he continues, "I will bless you." Verse 19, "But from this day on, I will bless you." That in the midst of our struggle of holiness in our daily interactions and the things that can weigh us down and pull us away and distract us from the Lord Jesus Christ and His holiness, God comes alongside of us through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of Christ, and says, "I will bless you." So he says it twice, but in these last verses of the book of Haggai, he gives a tangible evidence, a sign, or in fact, I would argue, a tangible element for the people to consider, and it's in the person of Zerubbabel, their leader. And he uses their leader as an example. That's what it says in Haggai chapter 2, verse 20. "The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth, and to overthrow the thrones of kingdoms. I am about to destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations and overthrow the chariots and their riders. And the horses and their riders shall go down, every one by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts." See, as we consider our struggling in this world, We can sometimes get the impression that it's up to us. Somehow God declares to us, obey me, be holy, be pure. And we forget the commands that he will bless us, as he says in the previous verses, but we also forget easily what he says at the end here, for I have chosen you. This image of God's blessing on the people and leading them and not forsaking them is seen in by calling their leader the signet ring. You may have come across this in other studies or other factors, other scriptures in the Old Testament where this signet ring denotes power and authority. It declares that this is the king's signature. The king is behind this. We see in Daniel chapter 6, verse 17, that they sealed the lion's den so that the situation could not be changed. The king putting his signet on there and sealing it. The closest example that we have today is what Carol Ajamian does in the library, which is a notary public, that you have someone who has given a status and power and authority and credibility to say, yes, this transaction is true. This signature is complete. Everything is in order. It is so. And that signature, that seal, that embossing carries significant weight. But there's a little bit more that the people here might have understood from this, that this wasn't just about Zerubbabel, but it was something beyond him. And in fact, looking forward to the birth of Christ. See, as we look at redemptive history, we have to go back to another prophet, the prophet Jeremiah, where he declares in Jeremiah 22:24 that Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that because of the repeated rebellion of his people, God declares to them, I will take you off. He says this, even if you, Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were a signet ring on my right hand, I would still pull you off. Now here's a great tension for people who would hear that in Jeremiah's day. On one hand, we have the promises given to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. We have this promise from the Lord himself, the God of the covenant, to say, I will bless you, that you will have this great line of kings, and you will never be broken, and from you will come the Messiah, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, will come this great king. And yet, when we get to Jeremiah, there's this pronouncement, seemingly, that God is somehow going back on his word, that he's no longer blessing the people, but he's cursing them. He's taking off the signet ring, his approval of the people, his blessing on the people. So that when we read these words in Haggai, it's a reminder to the people that even if God were to take off the signet ring, he has now put it back on. He has now declared to Zerubbabel, the leader of the people, I will bless you. I am with you. I put my seal of approval on you and upon your leader who will lead you and be my representation to you. That's why it's interesting in Matthew 1:13 in the genealogy of Christ, the genealogy that we often just skip over and read through and have difficulty pronouncing the names, but to see this, that Zerubbabel is mentioned, and it speaks of God's covenant faithfulness, that his promise to give to David this line of kings is now given again in Zerubbabel, climaxing in Christ, the greatest representation of God's power, the greatest approval of God's work to say, yes, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Christ did this so that we might become the righteousness of God. Whereas the people had some vague notion of this in Haggai, with Zerubbabel being pronounced as having received the seal and being the seal of God, we now have a greater one in Jesus Christ. So that God works in us. And so that now we, because we are in Christ, because Christ was approved by God, we now have the seal and the signet ring impressed upon our hearts of the Holy Spirit that continues to work itself out in our lives so that we are not our own, but that we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. That we might become righteousness not for our own sake, but for God's sake, not for our benefit, but rather so that God could make his appeal through us. This is how the Apostle Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, because we have been reconciled, because we are now Christ's ambassadors, we are God's chosen vessels to tell others about him. In our current and in our future ministry, remember this, because it is grounded on the work of Jesus Christ. It is grounded on the work that we have been sealed, that we have been chosen, that we have been blessed, not because of anything that we have done, but because God has called us to do the work that he has prepared us to do. Essentially, we live our lives now, to use this image, we are now a signet ring for Christ. We have his power and authority as we attempt to put his mark on all that we do and with everyone that we come in contact with. Again, not because of what we offer or bring to the table, but because of what Christ has done for us. I think it's especially true for our lives because we're sometimes tempted to think, as the people were here in Haggai, facing discouragement, facing a return to the land that was not what they had remembered or that they had been told from their parents or grandparents of what the city should look like. And yet, God comes to them in their discouragement, in their disillusionment, and says, I am with you. I will bless you. I have chosen you. The same is true for us. We're facing different things, all of us here today. We're facing different discouragements. We're facing different pressures, facing different challenges, some of these that we have never been through before, and we feel that we cannot do it. We feel we cannot go in this by ourselves anymore. We sometimes think that God and his expectations for holiness and obedience commands us to jump. And we say, how high? And we know that we can never jump as high as God says to jump. But the gospel reminds us that when God tells us to obey, when God commands us to be holy, that he gives us the strength to do that. That we are his signet ring, used by him for his purposes. And when we see this, when we consider today even this image of a signet ring, we remind ourselves that we obey, we serve with joyful hearts, because it's not about us. It's not about our strength. But rather, we obey. We can be holy because God has done this incredible work in our hearts and our minds. We're reminded of the work of Jesus Christ that is a work better than that of Zerubbabel. Let's pray today as we close. Father, will you remind us in our struggles, in our discouragement, in our trials of life, that you have placed your seal upon us. We are sealed with your Holy Spirit, better than a signet ring with wax, that you seal us in the inmost being. Will you come and comfort us today, guide us today, reveal to us our sin today, so that we can turn to you, so that we can deal with the areas of unholiness in our life, because that is what you desire, that we be more and more like Jesus Christ, to be found more and more in his image. Thank you for this work of redemption that you have begun in us. We take comfort in the fact that you will bless us, that you will take these works that you have chosen us to do, that you have declared for us to do before the foundation of the world. And let us walk in them as you strengthen our hearts today. Lord Jesus, come. Give your peace and your grace to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.